This is Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell, awakening the world to the power of God's Word. And now here is your host, Dr. William Campbell.
Welcome to Beyond Words Radio, where it's our ambition to move beyond talking about Scripture, even beyond understanding Scripture, to obeying Scripture. Now, there's a lot of Scripture that we tend as Westerners to overlook. These are, in particular, I'm thinking about the Scriptures that talk about the persecuted church. We don't notice these texts very much because we don't experience persecution very much. But how do you live it out when the going gets tough? We have with us as guest Gitana, who is from Ethiopia, and this brother with Voice of the Martyrs has an incredible story to share with us today. If you're not able to hear the whole program now, I encourage you to go back and pick up the podcast at oneplace.com or at beyondwords.org. Gitana.
Yes, sir.
You're from Ethiopia.
Yes.
Did you grow up there?
I was born and grew there.
Was this an easy place to grow up?
The time I was born, yes, it's very easy. My dad and my mom, they are working with the government, and my dad really became like a governor from place to place. And living for me at that time, it's okay. But in the middle of that, my mom had only me. She don't have another children. But we are 16 children in the house. 15 of them are my cousins and my relatives. And I am raised by this question, who I am, from where I'm coming. And then, you know, when I'm not getting answer for that, I am really depressed. And they try to tell me I am the only child. They take care of me. They send me to school, but it doesn't work with me.
And which religion did you grow up in?
I was grown as a Coptic believer, a Coptic Christian, Eastern Orthodox.
Coptic Christian.
Yeah.
And you just didn't feel a purpose in your life.
I have a question also about that, you know, which one is the true God, St. Mary or St. Michael or St. Gabriel? In our house on St. Mary Day, I was born that day, June 28, a big celebration in our home and in our country. They celebrate St. Mary. And I said, okay, who is Jesus? Who is Mary? And I have also a friend at school who always tell me about Allah. If I'm not converted to Islam, one day he is going to kill me.
Ooh.
And I asked him 2-3 times. One day I came with this question and my dad is sitting down. I said, Dad, are Muslims are going to take over our country? Our Muslims are going to kill us? Yeah, they did before. They did in Egypt. They did in Algeria. They took over the church. Now there is no any church. But in Egypt, they are living together, the Coptic church and Muslims. But here in Ethiopia, they are not going to do it, he said. I found out now the main goal of Islam is to take the world for Allah. That's what they are trying to do.
Yes.
And since 1994, I came to America. I'm starting to talk about that, you know, to the senators, to legislators. Everywhere I go, you know, I tell them what is the agenda of Islam, what it means. You know, the Muslims, the people are very nice people, very good people. But the book, when you read, when you study, it's not a book which you can advise people to read it. It is a satanic version.
In other words, if you read the Muslim's Quran, it encourages this kind of warfare to kill people for the sake of religion, whereas Christ tells us to lay our lives down and to love people.
Yeah. If you're a true believer of Islam, it said kill Christian and Jew. And you don't have any choice.
And you're talking from experience.
Yes, sir.
You saw this happen.
It happened to my country. It happened now in Middle East. It happened recently in Kenya. You know, they came, the Muslim mob, they came to individual house and they are asking them, are you Christian or Islam? They said, we are Christian. Would you like to convert to Islam? Would you say Shahada? When they said no, in front of, just, they didn't compromise. They killed them and they left. They killed more than 15 family in one area. And that is their agenda. That is what they want to do to us too.
It's hard for us in the West to see that or maybe believe it. I think because we're afraid of it. We think it'll just go away if we ignore it, or if we act nice enough, they will act nice in return.
Not afraid. We are very ignorant.
Ignorant, yes.
And also we think we are not, our freedom is not going to be jeopardized like this.
Right.
You know, since September 11, nobody is not talking about Islam. Or we try. There is a guy now who went home with the Lord, Nagi Kerr. He is from Egypt. He was in military in Egypt. When the six-day war started, he is going to fight Israel. And he don't know what to do. And then he is a Christian, and he's going to fight Israel. He's Egyptian. And from that, he just ran away from the country, came to America, and got asylum, and became a citizen. And since he came to America, he tried to tell in every opportunity what it means, Islam. And then he met me in 1995. They are not giving me asylum as a Christian refugee. They don't have any law at that time to accept persecuted Christian in America. And then we start to lobby together in the Senate, in the White House, and in United Nations. We try to take this case everywhere. People need to know what it means, what the book of Quran said. You know, most Arab or most Muslims are not reading the book. For example, I met a Pakistani guy in a mall last time. He speak Urdu. He speak English. And he saw me on television when I gave an interview. He said, why you are speaking bad about Islam? He said, no, I didn't speak bad. Do you really think I speak bad? No. Yeah, you said Muslims are going to kill a Christian and a Jew, and that bring hatred. No, I'm not going to bring hatred. I want the Church of Jesus Christ, the church in large, to know, to understand, and to pray for your safety, for your salvation.
So, Gitana, what should we do? You say we should not be ignorant. If people believe that this is a danger, that it's a threat, that it's taking over Europe and so many parts of the world, should we go to war?
I'm not saying go to war. I came from an Anabaptist background. You know, I'm not that much supportive of war. But if somebody come to kill me, I can't see him sitting down. You know, if somebody try to hurt my baby here, I can't see him just clearly. But in other way, this is also what we need to do. Are we willing to live the life of Jesus Christ?
There you go. What we need to do is get serious about our faith.
You know, we are compromisers.
Yes.
And we are very, you know, here I say to people always, I tell, I'm very spoiled. You know, we are very spoiled. If we don't have, you know, heater on the cold time, we are complaining a lot. If we don't have air condition is not working well, most women, they think, oh, it's too cold. They have blanket and, you know, they are complaining, you know. If the snow time, they complain about the snow. If the heat time, they complain about the heat. It is a creation of God. And God created this world for me and for you to live in it. And he has not created us not to be challenged. We can challenge and we can challenge it. You know, we can, and this is the main thing what I tell to the church always. Just live the life of Jesus Christ anywhere, everywhere.
That is the best preparation for any difficulty.
Any difficulty.
Because when you're close to him, you have strength for the trial, and you grow through it.
Yes, sir.
But if you're not close to him, you don't know what to do. You want to run.
You want to run, and you want to end up in complaint.
Yeah, it's just a bad situation.
Yeah.
The world is not easy, and Christ promised we would have hardship. We would be persecuted. So tell us a little more of your story.
I met Richard Wurmbrand at age 17. I became a Christian at age 13.
Wow.
Through Mennonite Mission. Hmm. Dr. Eshelman, he is still in nursing home in Lancaster. And he came as a doctor to the hospital. Hmm. And they are having a small chapel inside the hospital. And one of my cousins, she is going there to learn a nursing course. And she invited me to go there. And some people also talking, they insult Mary, they do this and they do that. They talk bad word. And then if they insult Mary, I said I took 5 rocks on my pocket. If they say something about Mary or, you know, to stone them, 3 of us from class, we talk and we went there. Hmm. And when we go there, they are not talking about Mary, just they are preaching the gospel. Hmm. And Dr. Eshelman asking this question. I want you to read the Bible, John 3:16. They gave us this New Testament, which is given by Gideon.
Okay.
And they gave us, and they are asking us to read John 3:16. That's my first time to read the Bible.
Wow.
We have Bible in our house.
Wow.
It's covered with a nice rope. Wow. We kiss it. That's all what we do.
Yes.
And we say the Lord's Prayer.
Okay.
On prayer. That's all what I know about God.
Mm.
And I go to the church on Sunday. I take Holy Communion with my mom and my dad. I come home. That's all. And also, my family, besides that, they are worshiping idol.
Wow.
You know, which it brought question to me.
Hmm.
My great-grandma is, you know, we got great-grandma. She is my grandfather's younger sister.
Hmm.
And she is a witchcraft maker.
Hmm.
They worship her like a god.
Wow.
I said, is she God? Is Mary God? Or Allah? Which one is a true God? I have this question which nobody is not answering.
Yes.
At age 10, I tried to commit suicide.
Wow.
I didn't get answer. Twice I tried. And then we went to that chapel. And in the beginning when we come in, there is a guy who is standing on the door. Now he went home with the Lord. We call him Abba Bati, Father Bati. And he gave us the lost sheep tract in my language. We got that and we went inside and we are looking here and there. We are expecting when they kiss each other, when they do bad things. That's what we heard.
Yes.
And this guy with a translator, he came and he's starting to speak about John 3:16. To read John 3:16, to put our name in the place of world.
Hmm.
When I read that, I said, what? Is there somebody who loves Gaetana like this? After he gave his life? Not to die, not to be killed, not to go to hell. And that time, it make a big difference. Always I said this, when I stand in American pulpit, I thank Americans who send that missionary to my homeland, to came and to live my life and to preach this good news. And to make me peaceful and happy all my life till today. And I have a big prize for missionary, always a big respect.
Yes, yes.
I love mission and I love missionaries.
And I think that America was significantly involved by God to help send missionaries to other parts of the world, like Africa. And now missionaries are coming back. You're one of them. Coming back to help us get back to the roots. We have lost the foundation of our faith here.
You know, one of our Mennonite missionaries, she is a nurse. I work with them when I work for Mennonite Mission back home. One day we are in lunch table or dinner. She said this, Gaetana, I saw you guys are really in fire for God. And I saw everywhere we go, you are starting a church. I think we need you back, and I am assuming maybe you are coming as a missionary to my country.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, indeed. I am a missionary now here. You know, I counsel people. I lead a prayer group. We have a prayer group here in North Carolina, in Nashville, in Pennsylvania. We have a prayer group in Canada who prayed with us.
Mm-hmm.
We have a prayer group in Africa, in Kenya, Somalia. And in Midland, once in a week, always we are coming together and we are praying. We are praying for sick people. We are praying for the country situation. we pray for this election in the past, for the will of God to take place. We pray for persecuted church daily, 7:24. And, you know, I saw myself really, mostly the counseling, it makes me to think, really, the Lord send me. And also I have a word when I was in prison. Somebody came to me. We are imprisoned in the place called RC, and we are doing all-night prayer. And the security people, they found us, and they took us, and they put us in prison. They beat us, they tortured us, and they tried to kill us. And we are in prison. In the morning, they are asking us to go outside to relieve ourselves. And there is a woman whom I know her. She was there with us, and she hollered to me. You know, men and women, there, we are going separate to relieve ourselves. And she said, you know, Gitane, what? I saw a dream. On my dream, the Lord clearly spoke to me that you are going to America as an awakening trumpet, even to meet an American president. I just look at her. She is talking from far away. I said, God is not sending a prophet before he speaks to me. I'm this kind of guy. This is a main prophecy to me.
Yes, the Bible.
Yes, sir. And right. Then I said, okay, please, can you just leave it? She said, surely, 100% I'm sure God is the one who spoke to me. It's going to happen.
And here you are.
After 25 years, here I am in America in 1994. And my story wrote on Wall Street Journal. And I asked the guy, why you did this, Mike? Why you put this story in Wall Street Journal? He said, I want to awake the giant. What?
They sleep in that the church.
That word, which is spoken 25 years ago in prison,
wow.
It came to pass.
Wow.
You know? And this is what God is doing. And since we came here, and we find so many situations, one, at the first, when I tried to apply for my asylum, in America, they don't have any law to accept persecuted Christian. What? I said, America, which is founded by Christians,
yes.
Which is founded by Christian refugee, they came to find a freedom of religion here. Monrovian, they sell themselves to preach the gospel as a slave to America, to bring this revival. You know, like John Wesley, like Moody. This country don't have any way to accept persecuted Christian. Lord have mercy. Then they told me, if I am not Muslim or Communist Party member or homosexual, I'm not getting asylum. If I have that kind of case, within 24 hours, I can get asylum.
Whoa.
What? I said, my eye was wide open, and I said, I don't have all these cases. Bye-bye. God is the one who brought me here, and then if you want, I will go or let him make the way. Then I met Michael Horowitz. After 2 weeks, I got that news. And I start to live with him. He gave me, he sheltered me in McLean, Virginia. And one day he asking me a question, Gaetano, what brought you to America? Why you don't have a green card or asylum? I told him what the lawyers told me, the immigration lawyers. 50 states I call.
Wow.
Immigration lawyers. From 50 states they gave me the same answer. I need to make some lie story. I haven't been in prison for any case. I have been imprisoned back home 5 times. And when I was in Djibouti, I have been imprisoned 20 times. I lived 10 years there, twice in a year. They put me in prison when I do funeral or when I do wedding. I ended up in prison. Anyway, to make the long story short, and Michael, the next day, he wrote my story in Wall Street Journal, and he brought it home. And me and his wife, Devra, we said, Mr. Mike, why you did this? He He said, I want to awake the giant. I want to awake the church.
Wow.
And then in 1996, in Mayflower Hotel, no, 1995, in Mayflower Hotel, they invite me to come and to give my testimony, like big religious leaders like Chuck Colson, the late Chuck Colson, the late James Kennedy, Rabbi Zacharias, James Dobson, Pat Robinson, 700 Club. And these people, they came together, and Freedom House prepared, like Nina Shea, they prepared a firm in Mayflower Hotel. I spoke about my experience and also what it looks like persecution in Ethiopia and surrounding country, how the Muslims try to take our country from us, how the Muslims steal. You know, if you study the history, the Egyptians, they tried, the Turkey people, they tried, and the Sudan people, they tried to take Christianity from Ethiopia to just make Ethiopia a Muslim country, but it's not working for them. We fought the war and we win. And I mentioned all this, and at the end, Chuck Colson, James Kennedy, James Dobson, and Rabbi Zacharias, they took me on the side and they are asking me, they interviewed me in 700 Club first. And when I finished the interview, these people, they came together again. They are asking me, Pastor Gaetano, how can we help you? I said, you know, persecution is written from Genesis to Revelation. You can't change the word of God. And you need to pray to endure the persecution. If you go to China today, or if you go to Ethiopia, or if you go to Somalia, you know, I'm working now with the persecuted church. The only questions they are asking, not food, not clothes. They are looking for food or they are looking for clothes. They don't have nothing. They look. But the main thing what they are asking is prayer.
They want, like Paul said, he didn't say pray for my life to be easy. Pray for more money. And no, he says, pray that I can be bold and declare the gospel freely.
Pray that for us, he said, you know, pray for us to give this message boldly to others.
Yes.
That's what he said. And that's what we are asking today. And then they decided the second week of November to be the National Day of Prayer for the persecuted church. That's the time it started until today. Now the whole November is a National Day of Prayer for persecuted church. That is good. And some churches are happy to do it. Some church, they are ignorant. And, you know, the big problem here in America, we take things lightly. You know, they know about Al-Qaeda presence in America, but they are not taking care of things on time. And we lost 3,000 innocent people in September 11.
Yeah.
You know, if they took care of things in ahead, or that, see what it happened in Libya.
Yeah.
To our ambassador and to the military. Yeah. You know, they know that thing is going to happen, but they need to be faster than them to take care of this business.
Yeah.
And still, this is what I'm saying. We need to stand. We need to wake up. We need to aware our children, our grandchildren. This country is founded by Christian fathers and mothers, and it had a Christian heritage. No question, all the constitution is founded biblically. Even, you know, the founders of this nation, before signing the declaration, they put it on the table. They prayed for 3 solid hours. All of them.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah, I mean,
and all of them who signed that, they graduate from seminary, they pastor the church. Like 4 or 5 people are the one who is not pastor the church from that group.
Yeah. The early colonies here, I was just at a Bible museum a couple days ago showing quotes from all over the 13 colonies where if you want to be in a government, a requirement was that you believe in this God of the Bible, that you honor the scripture.
Yeah.
I mean, that's who we were. The government
Required
that.
Yeah.
And
but and now so it's all confused. The church is not taking care of her business. The church tries the government to take the business of the church.
Right.
Vice versa. You know, church and government are separate. Okay, I don't care. But where is the church? You know, yeah. We have how many prisoners we have in prison? Have you been in prison lately? Have you been in the hospital? How many churches is going to visit their sick people? Yeah. How many people are going to change that prisoner's life?
We have with us Gitana from Ethiopia in Voice of the Martyrs. And when we come back, we're going to talk more about how he has faced such difficulties through which he's gotten the insights he's sharing with us to help us know the Lord in a more intimate way. We'll be right back.
Have you ever wanted to read the entire Bible from cover to cover? Most Christians have, and you may even be among those who have attempted it. Yet only 10% of Christians have ever read the entire Bible. B90, or Bible in 90 Days, is a Bible reading program that can help you achieve this important goal for your life and for your spiritual development. By reading only 12 pages a day, you and your friends, your Bible study group, or even your entire church can read the Bible in 90 days. To find out more about B90, visit us on the web at scriptureawakening.com and click on B90, Bible in 90 Days. Read every word that God has spoken and shared with humanity. Check it out. That's B90 at scriptureawakening.com.
Welcome back to Beyond Words Radio. We have with us Gitana from Ethiopia, and he is the director and founder of Watch and Pray Ministries. And Gitana, can you tell us, many of us are interested to hear more of your story. You mentioned being in prison so many times. What was happening? You mentioned that you became a Christian, and then we didn't hear much of the rest. Tell us what you've gone through.
As soon as I became a Christian, the first persecution came from my family. Mm. My family, they are afraid for the repetition, and they don't want me to follow a new religion. And they grounded me for 2 years inside the house.
Wow.
And that is really very difficult for a 13-year-old boy.
Yeah.
Who loved to play, who loved to go to school. And in that 2 years, I asked God, okay, what? And they baptized me with cold water from the Coptic Church. The high priest is coming and baptizing me with cold water, always to take away Jesus from me. And I said, in the name of Jesus, that's all what I know. And he put his cross on over my head, over my overhead here, and pouring that cold water always. And he says some kind of prayer. I don't know what is that. He said, just that's all. I can't hear him what he said. But I passed through that. One day, some miracle happened in our house. My great aunt, who is a psychic, a witchcraft, to tell you a little bit about her, she have been lived with a forest at age 7 for 8 years with wild animals, and her family gave up. They said she was dead, and they do what they are doing in the Coptic Church. After 8 years, she came back, look like animal, having leaves on her body, mm-hmm. her toenail, and everything is growing, her hair. Wow. Then they cleaned her up, and she got married, to make stories the long story short. She married 3 times, and she born 6 children. She killed her 6 children by herself. The evil spirit inside her is not allow her to live a normal life, and then she became a wizard, a witchcraft maker. Mm-hmm. And many people are worshiping her like God. And I told you in the beginning, I have a big question. Who is the true God? That my great aunt or the God which they told me at the Coptic Church? Or Allah? Which one is the true God? You know, I'm confused. Mm-hmm. And I got answers since I became a Christian. That woman asking me one day how I am going to be delivered from this evil spirit.
Huh.
Duh. Grandma, what do you mean? We call her great grandma. What do you mean? She said, I am tired of it. I asked last night the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, our God, how I am going to deliver from this evil spirit. You know, all her teeth gone. She drink alcohol. She drink perfume. She chew chat. She drink coffee. And when the evil spirit come over her, she don't know what she is doing. She's tired of that. People are worshiping her like God. She's not going to wedding. She's not going to funeral. It bounded her inside the house. When she want to go out from the house, she need to put herself on the horse. She can't walk on the with the people. That woman asking me that question and watch and pray my ministry, what I'm doing today, started that day.
Wow.
We prayed for her. There is a chapel which is called Heavenly Sunshine. I called some of them and they came and they prayed for her. She delivered from that evil spirit. That brought change to my family and to her and to my ministry. And since that time, I am preaching this gospel. I am going. In 1974, the worst thing happened to our country. I ask everywhere I go, Americans, how long your freedom is going to exist? The freedom what we have in this nation. Our freedom is taken one by one from us. And then our communism came and took place in Ethiopia. They boycott the military and they take away the king in prison and they kill 60 people and they buried 60 people in one hole. And then they nationalize the hospital, they nationalize the bank, they nationalize even the barber shop in some area. And we ended up in prison. They starting us to say slogan, communism slogan, which is against the Bible. And one time they found me in a very rural area when I baptized people 2 a.m. It's very hard when they came and they handcuffed me. They are asking the 2 new believers to deny Jesus. The 2 new believers, they haven't been in the church. They haven't read this Bible all in all. Just a 2-week Christian. They know only the verse, John 3:16. This is their answer, which they are asking them to deny and to return back to their Islam faith. No, we are not going back to Muhammad. We know the truth now. If we die, we are going to heaven. We are 100% sure for that. And let you know, in our blood, the church will build here if you kill us.
Amen.
Sure indeed. They got killed. Their voice echo is still clear on my ear when they say hallelujah. And they went in glory. I was frustrated how my life is going to end up. How I'm going to accept this persecution. They took me in a small room. They hung me upside down. They start to pour boiling oil on my feet. And they are asking me why I am following Jesus. They brought a Time magazine where a pastor is doing a homosexual marriage here in San Francisco. They said, you are going to bring this to our culture, to destroy our heritage. The Mennonites are not telling me that. They gave me this Bible. They make me to study from the 10 Commandments. They start, and then we studied the Bible well. That's all. They taught me about holiness, righteousness, and peace. That is a big teaching of the Mennonite Church. I told them, I don't know all this. They start to beat me, and he see the scar on my hand. I have more scar on my body. I asked God to take me home. Then instead of that, I heard audible voice, which is clear till today, which it helps me to just really challenge this life and to walk the walk. Son, it's not time for you to come home. Tell to these people who persecuted you how I love them dearly. How you can tell to people who buried your cousin alive, who killed your children in front of your eye, who tortured you like that, without the joy of the Lord, how you are going to tell? I tell to people still, if you are not forgive somebody, still you are in prison.
Yes, so
forgiveness is the main issue to speak to these people. And then when I asked God, joy starting to bubble from my belly. Till today, I remember, I'm starting to tell them how God so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son. They think I became crazy. They put me down. My feet are swollen. The blood is running from my feet and from my knee, from down there. And then they said, Gitana, what drives you crazy? Who is this Al-Masih? Who is this Jesus? I'm starting to tell them who is this Jesus from their book, from the book of Quran.
Because he's all over the Quran.
Yes.
Yes.
And then two of them, they gave their life to the Lord.
Wow. Praise God.
And, you know, I believe with this word, to change the Muslim world, the only weapon is Bible. God's word. I encourage missionaries who is working in Middle East, outside of Middle East, and also we have pastors, evangelists who is working in Somalia, Djibouti, in South Sudan, in Nubia. I encourage them to preach this gospel. This is the only thing which has changed. Then I escaped from the country. I came to Djibouti to live 10 years there, starting a church. And after 10 years, the Lord brought me to America. Here I am.
So you've been imprisoned, you said, how many times?
5 times back home, 20 times in Djibouti.
So you went to Djibouti and were pastoring, you were ministering there as well then?
I just walked for 5 days through the jungle to go to Djibouti. That's another miracle that I saw on my life. For 3 days, we don't have any food or any water. We are out of the water. We don't know how to use it. You know, we are young. And the young guy also who is leading us, he is my neighbor, my good friend, Muslim, who is not a Christian. He just wants to save Gaetana's life, and he is leading me in the forest. And then he asking me at the end, Gaetana, I don't want you to die without faith. Can you say the Shahada? Means La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulallah. That will make you Islam. That's all. And I told him, Tamam, do you love me dearly? He said, yes, that's the reason why I'm with you here. What do you mean? Then if you love me dearly, if you want to see me forever, you need to give your life to Jesus. That way, me and you, we are going to be together forever. He gave his life to the Lord. And at that time, we are hungry, we are hydrated. You know, we are not drinking any water. We are not having any food. And our body is starting to sweat. Our belly is starting to fill with the food. We haven't seen anything. Miraculously, God fed us.
Wow.
And gave us water. And I saw many miracles in my life, you know. I saw people raised from dead. I saw people got healed from cancer. But that's not my main subject when I'm talking. My main subject is to know him and make him known.
Yes. That needs to be our focus, because healing and things we like, these gifts, they come from the giver. And he says,
sir,
I want you to love me. And I'm not promising an easy life, but I will take care of you.
Yeah, we love the gift more than the gift
yes,
giver.
That's
and
a
that's
human
my
nature.
Big problem here in America, you know.
Yes.
People, they are following the miracle and the wonders. If you are calling them for prayer meeting, see how many people we have here today.
Right, right. If it's just a prayer meeting, five
yeah.
people show up.
If it's a word of knowledge or prophecy, you know, I can prophesize over people. I can prophesize over country.
Yes.
God gave me that gift just, but I'm not bragging or telling to people
yeah.
I'm doing this and that. If it comes, I will tell to the guy or to the person or to the church. You know, I traveled one time to Israel to give some prophecy for somebody in the office. And still, you know, I'm not telling to anybody, I did this, I did that.
Yeah.
Let God take the glory, you know.
Yes, yes. When you read the book of Acts, there were miracles, there's prophecy, there were visions. They heard from God, but they're focused on the gospel.
Thank
Paul
you.
Paul was out preaching. He said,
yeah.
you need to be saved. He was telling people to.
Yeah.
And then once in a while, God would do something supernatural when he knew it was time to get attention.
Yeah,
you know?
This is what I said, you know. Always, if miracle is not followed by salvation, that's cult.
Yeah, cult. Yeah.
After that miracle, God be to glorified, And God's main agenda is not that miracle.
Right.
God's main agenda is salvation, Amen. Your soul. I believe in healing, you know. I pray for people. 100% I believe. I saw dead people came back. I saw people got healed from cancer. One time in Israel, we are visiting, and Dr. Wise, who is a leader, asking me to say the blessing of the Aaronic blessing. There is a woman who is fighting with cancer. They gave her only 3 months or 4 months to live. She is with us. She asked her family to come on that trip to see the Holy Land as a gift to go home. She fell down. And I have a question when people fell down always. The Holy Spirit will knock you down or just, I don't care whatever he done to you. But I have a question. If really the Holy Spirit touch you, change needs to come in your life. Yeah. And that woman, she stood up, she take her oxygen off, and then I look at her. What are you doing? Just you are not supposed to put away this oxygen. She said, Gaitan, I'm healed. Are you sure? She said, yes. She walked without that oxygen. We came down from that mountain. We are in the upper room. And we are in the lunch. We are not going to the hotel for lunch. We eat any restaurant. And I saw her. She's sitting down and eating. And she's walking well without a cane or anything. Still, she is alive. You know, God is doing a miracle. And after that, also in Taylor, Texas, somebody came. He is expecting to get a new liver change. And when they found out somebody is coming from Ethiopia or Ethiopian evangelist, they brought him to Taylor from Temple Hospital. He came with oxygen. And I'm standing on the pulpit. I saw this picture of some part of body. And here, two people, they are working hard. They are taking the rotten one and they put, when it comes to the liver looks like really dark black. And they took that and they put a new one. And I can't keep it this, you know, just if I got that vision here, I will tell to people. I said, is there anybody who is struggling with liver? And his wife, yes, he is expecting a liver plant or something like that. They brought him and he is now alive still till today.
So God made the transplant. God gave him a new liver, just like that.
You know, God is still in a miracle business. We can't limit him.
Right.
You know, the God who knows how many hair is in your head, on my head. He knows them by roots. How many roots of hair is on your head.
Yes.
We can't mess up with this God. He's a big God.
When Christ said that they will not touch the hairs in your head, I think what that means, tell me if you agree, unless God allows it.
Yes.
They can't do anything against us unless he allows it.
Huh? People are slaughtered in Syria. You know, this year I lost 8 evangelists in Somalia. 3 of them are women. They chopped their head off. Why it happened to them? I don't know.
Yeah. It's like, why does God heal some people?
Yeah.
We don't know. It's his wisdom.
One of my good friends this past Tuesday, she diagnosed from cancer recently, within 5-6 months. She went home with the Lord. I went to pray with her Tuesday, and she said, Gaitane, I'm glad you came. And she smiled. She's not smiled within a week. And then I said, Janet, how can I pray for you? She said, you know, my inside is very strong. I don't know how to show to my children and to my husband, to my sisters. Tell to my prayer group how I love them, how I am strong from inside, how my body is really worn out. I don't want to live in this body. I am very thirsty. Just pray for me to drink that crystal water from heaven. Wow. I'm starting to bawling. Her sisters, they can't hear her. What she is saying, she speaks slowly. And they saw only that smile. They think she's ready to go home. And then I tell her, honey, can you tell them? can you tell to David what you tell me? She said, David, thank you for to be here with me. He have been in home for many years. And thank you. I'm ready to go. She went home with the Lord. And I have another people who just got full remission from the cancer.
Yeah.
Who got healed 5 years now, 6 years, in every state. But I want you to know this. Miracle always needs to bring glory to God.
Yes.
And salvation needs to follow that. You know, everywhere you go in the Bible, in the book of Acts, the book which is open for me and for you, left behind, to write the chapter 29, you know, to start to begin
right,
from
right.
that.
Yeah, we continue.
Yeah, we need to continue. That is the way the book of Acts yeah. left. It's not closed by amen.
Yeah.
Nobody is not closed that book by amen. The writer, he just left it empty for me and for you to continue the church legacy. And after the miracle happened, people got saved, and the glory of God just filled that place. This is what we miss. This is what we try to bring. We are doing Awake the Nation and Awake 714 prayer all over the nation. People are praying with us. That is what we try to bring back to America.
Beautiful, beautiful. Now, we see this, I guess, agenda. It has different faces, but sometimes it's the... like the homosexual agenda. What do you think of that coming from
Sir,
another country?
You know, my Bible is black and white. It is seen. I love the people. And I counsel, still I'm working with some of them. I love them. The devil lie to them, whatever. They need to come out from that lie. And some of them, they said, we are born like this. It's a lie. Nobody is not born like that. They need help. But the church, again, have a big responsibility. We neglect them and we say, oh, no, these people are like this. No. You know, I have a question with the people who is going to Louisiana and what's this city in next from Vegas? San Francisco,
uh-huh.
and they are going and they are protesting, homosexuals are going to hell. Who said that? Why we are judging them? Who make us to judge them? Who gave us that opportunity?
Yeah, if we judge we all sin.
We are less grace always. God is the one who gave us that grace today for me to stand here and to talk what I'm talking. He gave me that grace.
Amen.
Otherwise, not my righteousness or my holiness. Who we are to judge somebody?
Yes, we just...
See what devil is doing. How many pastors commit suicide this year? Mega church pastors.
Yeah, we need to learn to walk as
yes,
Jesus
sir.
Walked.
That's all.
Humbly.
We need to have mercy. We need to love them. We need to pray for them. But we need to speak the truth in love.
Yes.
Not judging them.
Not judging, but being honest. Because this is what I've had ministry in this area for a number of years. And many say to me, it hurts us when we don't hear the truth. But we need to be loved, most of all.
Yeah.
And people think if I just love them, we don't have to share the truth. That will hurt them. No, they want, everybody wants the truth.
Yeah.
We all want the truth. And some things are complicated, but some things are simple.
You know, these people, they are not welcome in the church, first of all.
Yeah, and that's
no,
very...
church is not welcome. Did you hear from Chrisma, one woman, she just decided to go to church. She's lesbian.
Yeah.
And when she go, men, suddenly people hugging her and just kept her. She's not telling her problem or who is she. Mm-hmm. And then... she decided to be straight, and she put her testimony how the church helped her to come out from that situation. Here, we are blaming them.
Yes.
We think our country is going down. Our country is going down by the church is not doing her business.
Right. Very
period.
Good. Very good.
You know, what we see in the White House, what is inside the church?
Yeah, we can't solve the church problems with voting
No.
With a new president, a new government.
No.
We solve it by trusting the Lord and living like Jesus.
Living like Jesus.
Yes.
And the Bible said, you are the light, you are the salt in this earth. Not to sit down on Sunday. We got a lesbian mayor whom she asking, bring your message first. You
right.
see?
Right.
Our door is going to knock tomorrow morning. You know, we need to love these people. God loves them.
Yes.
As he hates the sin, he loves the sinners.
That's right.
Amen. That is the reason why he sent his only begotten son from heaven.
Amen. Well, we have just a minute left. Give us a final word. What should we do? You've been through so much in your life, and God sent you here.
My question for American church still, again, one and one. One, pray for the persecuted church. Pray for your country. Pray for your president. Pray for your children, your grandchildren, to know him and make him known. Second, pray for the persecuted church to endure the persecution. Don't pray the persecution to stop. It's not biblical. The reason Jesus said, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you. And second, speak out. And I have a problem, who is not going to election, the people who is not going to election booth. They sit down and they are complaining. They don't have any right to complain if they are not going to the election. They are not using their own priority. You know, God gave them this freedom. They need to use it.
Yes, very good.
Let us speak out. Let we say, why the silence? Why? When people are dying without Jesus, when people are persecuted. Third, if God allow you, we need your help. The persecuted church don't have any money. All the money is taken by the Muslims and by the communist people. China, North Korea, Nigeria, Sudan, Ethiopia, Somalia, people are in need. We have in Ethiopia 6.2 million orphans who is sleeping outside. This day, when we sit down here, they are, in Kenya, they are digging from the trash. And I want you to pray, I want you to speak, I want you to share.
We can make a difference.
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
And yet, we start right where we are.
Yeah.
Praying to God who is with us, loving our neighbor who is around
Amen.
Us. And then God shows us the next step.
Yeah.
Thank you. This
You're
has
welcome.
Been Gitana Gitana. Thank you so much.
You
for
thank you also for giving us this time. Really, we appreciate
it. Your life is a testimony.
Thank you.
God is using you, brother.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Beyond Words with Dr. William Campbell. And Beyond Words is a ministry of Scripture Awakening. Visit us on our website at scriptureawakening.com. where you can download free podcasts of all Beyond Words programs.